Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Tuesday morning. And we are very pleased to be joined by Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach. Gary, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Of course, no problem at all. Great to be on.
So, Gary, obviously you guys have had a lot of adversity in your first MLS season. Nobody anticipated the onset of a global pandemic. But how have you guys as an organization been able to push through and kind of remain focused on the task at hand?
I have to be perfectly honest. I think everyone around the franchise in general has been able to stay very focused in what could be classed as one of the most difficult circumstances I think I've ever faced in soccer. If we're looking at the players and the staff in general out on the field, you know, we've had numerous setbacks in terms of competition or being involved in games that are meaningful. And I think every time so far, I'd like to say, we've bounced back. Now, you know, we're not going to know to what degree until we start playing our new schedule. But when I watch the guys working on the training field and the sort of appetite that they still have, I think everyone around the club's pretty proud of the way these guys are going about their business still.
Yeah, so what does that look like right now, Gary? What are you guys doing? And is everyone healthy at this point? Everyone able to participate?
Everyone's healthy. We have a couple of injuries, just minor little issues that are keeping one or two players away from the training field at the moment. But in general, I mean, we are full go. I mean, we're planning on being ready for whenever the schedule is set by MLS. If that's in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, you know, or slightly further down the line, I think these lads are going to be ready, willing, and able to get out on the field. And I think also, you know, you've got to remember, it's been over 5 months now since we played against Portland. You know, we had the disappointment of being withdrawn from the Orlando tournament. And these fellas are just ready to play again. So wherever and whenever that may be, everyone's going to be ready.
Gary, when you look at your team and you kind of forecast the potential of your group down the road, what do you ultimately want the identity of this team to be?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, we want to be cast as an exciting and an entertaining side. You know, the first two games that we've played, I think we've given a very decent account of ourselves. But there's so much more, as you've just said, to come from this group. There's some very, very talented guys. The process of settling in, the process of understanding one another, and then, of course, the confidence that comes from winning games or adding points to the board only enhances the way that you play. But, you know, that has to be a foundation, exciting, entertaining. You know, I'd also like to, you know, make sure that the core elements of this group are always competitive as well. I don't think there's a fan or staff member alike that want to see a team when the going gets tough and not prepared to roll their sleeves up a little bit as well and get on with the work and try and dig in and make life you know, that much more difficult for your opponent. So, you know, a combination of a couple of things. You know, as we move forward and start to try and think about the next set of games, I do believe a really enhanced and reinforced on the training field every single day.
Gary, you mentioned this is one of the most difficult things you've encountered in soccer. How have you, I guess, sort of dealt with that with the team, addressed the team, kept guys' heads up, and who have you seen among your players who have kind of stepped into leadership roles during this time?
Well, we've had two or three moments now. You know, the the initial Toronto, I think it was, we were due to play, and I remember Mike walking out on the field, Mike Jacobs, and saying we weren't travelling, which was the prelude to, you know, the best part of 2 months of really inactive team play out on the training field. You know, we were able to do very light and minimal things in with the group. You know, we prepared extremely well for the Orlando tournament. Tremendous amount of physical work that went into that, you know, that the players undertook. And it was a huge disappointment and a massive frustration that we were unable to show exactly how well we're prepared going down there. Everything looked good until we got to Orlando. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out. You know, these guys have at the moment been through, you know, I believe, an awful lot, probably more than most. There's certainly players in this group, the more senior players, that have, I think, rallied the troops, you know, maybe kept a little bit of perspective, if you can, of course, in a very uncertain world, but offered a little bit more guidance. And understanding of the situation and where we're currently at. But I think most importantly for these professional players, they just need to know that they've got to be ready. And that's a tough part sometimes. When you're always looking at where can that be, it's sometimes difficult to have yourself mentally and physically prepared. But as I said earlier on, these guys have done a great job. And, you know, we're certainly looking forward to whenever that next game comes along.
Nashville SC head coach Gary Smith on the line with us. And Gary, I think back to the game against Atlanta and the atmosphere, the crowd, the way you guys played on the field, everything that surrounded that game. And it was just so encouraging to me about what soccer could look like here in Nashville. As you look back on that experience against Atlanta at Nissan Stadium, what are some of your takeaways from it? What do you remember about it? And what do you think that says about the potential of this team in this city?
Well, with 6 weeks preparation, which is what it was, you know, number one, I felt that the performance of the side was very competitive, and it certainly showed some of the foundational signs and pieces of an identity that we've spoken about. Secondly, the atmosphere in Titan Stadium for that opening game is something that, you know, we'd all love to think can be replicated time and time again in Nashville. Supporters were terrific, and it was just a wonderful occasion to be part of. The result, of course, wasn't something that we especially enjoyed, but I think that in itself galvanises the individuals, the staff, and everyone around to, you know, to better themselves and really understand the true quality of MLS. It's a very, very competitive league. And it can be unforgiving. And, you know, whilst we enjoyed the occasion, we certainly didn't enjoy the way that the game unfolded and obviously ended up. But, you know, lots and lots of good things to take away from that, which I felt we showed to a large degree in Portland. There was some improvement. And the sad thing is we've been unable to obviously correct those two defeats at this point.
Gary, you've got Philadelphia, Portland tomorrow night in a semifinal, Orlando, Minnesota the next night, and then the championship game of the MLS's back tournament in a week on ESPN. What have you thought of the tournament, and how are you watching it? I mean, is this, I guess, a lot of, you know, scouting in terms of, you know, looking at it as a coach or more as a fan of soccer at this point?
I think when you're watching the teams that you know you could well be competing against, the coach's hat comes on. There's not too much sort of fan viewing as far as this tournament goes. There's too much to be learned from the way teams play and the players they have. I've been able to watch pretty much all of the games. I think like a lot of people, the games have improved as the guys have got fitter and stronger and certainly, you know, got themselves into that match mindset and physicality. And there's been some very exciting games, I have to say. And as a whole, I think or I'd like to think that the league will look back on it and say what a very, very good job they did of putting this tournament on in such a difficult time. Four teams that are left in, you know, I have to say, there's one or two of them in there that maybe we wouldn't have chosen, and one or two that have gone home that, you know, we would have said they'd have been in this final four. But that is, you know, knockout football. It's, you know, those competitions and tournaments that happen very quickly, and you've got to get off to a flyer and get into your stride and you know, really gather the confidence as quickly as you can. And, you know, those four teams, I think there's not a lot to choose between them, I have to say, at this point.
Nashville SC coach Gary Smith has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Gary, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We really appreciate it and hope to see you guys playing back again as soon as possible.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Sure. Nashville SC coach Gary Smith. And Joe, like, I just look at what's happened to them this year. Just think about this. I mean, they have their opening game against Atlanta. It goes really well. I mean, the crowd, the atmosphere, the vibe, everything around, it's great. They played well on the field. You go to Portland, even though you lose the game, you controlled possession for the majority of that game. And then all of a sudden, you know, tornadoes are around town, COVID hits, everything that happened in Orlando with the MLS's back tournament with those guys. You talk about hitting some adversity in your first year with a professional sports league with the MLS. That's a tough draw for Nashville SC, but I'm really looking forward to whenever it is they get back on the field and start playing again.
There's that word, adversity.
Yeah.
Don't like it in sports a lot, but it applies to these guys. I mean, you think about, you know, Gary was talking about just the preparation. Think about all that time and then the preparation for Orlando, and then it just gets wiped out. I mean, that's got to be really tough for those guys. So, as he said, I guess next week or two they'll get maybe some firm dates, and by the end of this month could be staging a game around here, which I'm sure for those guys, a long time coming, and they will be more than eager to get back at it.
When we come back, big news on the college basketball front with the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson. We're going to have Tracy Myers from NHL.com join us at 8:30 to talk Preds and Coyotes. So looking forward to having Tracy join us. Thanks to Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach, for joining us in the last segment. Joe, some big news yesterday on the college basketball front for the Tennessee Volunteers. Eve Pons announces he's returning back to the Vols to return next year on a team that I think you and I both believe, hopefully if we get to play, that's going to be pretty loaded. I mean, the freshman class they have coming in, along with some of the experiences that the players already on the roster gained last year in what was really a weird kind of up and down year for the Tennessee basketball team. They got a chance next year to be really good, and some big news yesterday when Pons announces he's coming back.
Huge, huge news for that team, because it would have been a good team without Pons, but he is an elite athlete. You know, Pons is a guy who, at the combine with other prospects, he would have stood out as an athlete, as will Saban Lee, by the way, for Vanderbilt. I think with both guys, there's also a parallel of their games can still develop. I thought Saban Lee got a lot better. I thought he would come back for Vanderbilt. He left. I don't know where he'll go in the draft, but he will. I mean, he can go in the NBA right now and guard, and he can get to the hole. You know, big thing with him is his jump shot. Pond's jump shot got way better this year, but he can still add to his game. He improved so much from freshman to sophomore year, which is a Rick Barnes.
Yep.
I mean, look, Rick Barnes improves players, and so now you put him with Fulkerson, who will be a senior. You got probably the most celebrated recruiting class in Tennessee history, led by Jaden Springer. You got Keon Johnson. People forget about Josiah James. He's going to be healthy this year. Well, if he's healthy this year. He was not last year. That's almost like adding another huge recruit. He was solid last year, but he was limited. And then Santiago Viscovi at point guard. Love his offensive game, has to get a lot better defensively.
Yep.
But if you add it all together, plus Victor Bailey, some good depth on the perimeter, Devontae Gaines, it's a top 10 team. It's the SEC favorite, in my opinion, hands down.
Now, there was a point yesterday where we didn't really know what was happening with Pons, because I think it was Sean Farnham came out and said that he was 100% confirmed going back to Tennessee, and then all of a sudden, like an hour later, it was, well, you know, he was 100%.
How about 73%? Can we call
it? He may be having a change of heart, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah,
just an interesting day yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen for Sean Farnham. You know, you know it or you don't. You have it or you don't. So he tweeted it, and then everybody reacted to it, and then he retracted it. He turned out to be accurate. Obviously, Pons had to go back and forth. I mean, clearly this was a tough decision. If you take it to the last day, the last few hours, and maybe some people looked at Pons and said, why is it that tough of a decision? He's not an NBA player. But again, athletically, he absolutely is an NBA player and will be one. He improved so much as a jump shooter last year. You know, he's got to get better with the ball. And if he does, if he has another step, I don't think there'll be any question. And if that's the case, this team, you know, Fulkerson and Pons, I just really like that 4-5 combo along with everything else they have. We'll see with the freshmen. Sometimes McDonald's All-Americans aren't stars right away. You know, people can be disappointed. Josiah James was a McDonald's All-American, but he had a groin thing last year. You know, a lot of things have to come together, but it's a really promising roster that could be a great team. And then LSU gets Javonte Smart, Trendon Watford coming back. I mean, I think Kentucky right now might be the third best team in the SEC on paper going into the next season. You don't say that very often.
You sure don't. So let me ask you this. This may be a tough question, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. What's more likely, the Titans going back to the AFC Championship game or the Vols getting to the Final Four in basketball?
Ooh, well, that's good. I tweeted yesterday, I said there's three teams this year, 2020-21, that can win major championships, and I ranked them by, one, Vanderbilt baseball.
Yep.
I mean, they've got likely the top two picks in the draft next year.
It'll be pretty good.
Yeah, and Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. Two, I went Titans. So I guess that's my answer.
Okay.
I went Titans, and then three, I went Vols, you know, to win a national championship, men's basketball. So, but that's a great question, though, if you just boil it down to get back to the AFC Championship game or get to the Final Four.
And look, obviously there's stuff we don't know about that, like matchups and stuff that we can't talk about right now because we don't know it. But just in terms of likelihood, I might give the edge to the Vols.
Yeah.
I might.
I mean, Rick Barnes' naysayers will say, well, you know, in the tournament, what's his history? He's been to one Final Four. I'll give it a slight edge to the Titans, even though, again, right now we're looking at a defense that has a lot of questions. An offense that has a lot of answers, though. And it's just hard with the Vols until you see the freshmen play and how it all works together. And Vescovi, I love Vescovi's game. He has got to be able to guard opposing point guards. You know, and I'm not knocking him for coming in cold in January and immediately being like, whoa, look at this guy hitting shots. I mean, what he did really was incredible. But I don't know, after a summer of conditioning and all that and working on it, can he be a decent, you know, defensive point guard in the SEC? You've got to be able to – you have to be able to guard opposing point guards. And that definitely was a problem for them at times last year. But I think Tennessee, if it all came together – and again, I'm going to keep saying Josiah James' name. He is a guy who I think could make a huge leap this year. Yeah, they could be awfully good.
All right, so you mentioned James. We've talked about the freshman coming in. Do we still think Fulkerson is going to be the go-to option for this group? I tend to think yes, that he'll be the number one option. Of course, we need to see what the freshmen look like at the NCAA level first, and maybe we can reevaluate that. I think Fulkerson's probably still your go-to guy.
Well, I think that eventually, as last year went on, they figured out, because they went, 3 years where they were just like, you know what, just throw it into Grant Williams, and he is going to get fouled at the least. And not that many teams have that. So eventually last year, Fulkerson's confidence grew to the point where he's like, I can twist my skinny little body around most people and at least get fouled. I mean, look at what he did at Kentucky. Just tore them up in Lexington. So I do think so, but they need a go-to on the perimeter. I think James will be one of them, but I look at Jaden Springer, and again, it's a lot to put on a freshman, but Jordan Bowden's out, of course.
Yep.
They've got to have perimeter people stepping up to be able to hit shots. And Vescovi can do that too. But if Jaden Springer can step into that role and be a shot maker right away, then I think they can spread it around. When they're absolutely in a half-court game, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times you're going to see them dump it down to Fulkerson, and he's going to make the right play, either draw a double and make the right pass, or he can score or get fouled. He's a really unorthodox player, but he has kind of figured out how to use that Gumby body to be hard to guard.
And we've talked about, you know, Tennessee getting players back with the big news from Pons yesterday. Alabama's getting players back, LSU, Arkansas, and then you look at Vanderbilt. And Saban Lee is going to the NBA, and I agree with you. I thought he would come back. And, you know, Vanderbilt, we've talked about it at the end of the season, was showing signs of improvement under Jerry Stackhouse. But to lose Saban Lee, when I think he could be such a big part of what you're going to be able to build next year if you're Vanderbilt, that's just continues to be a tough draw for Jerry Stackhouse and the Doors over on West End.
Yeah, it's a tough break to lose Saban Lee. I just thought he improved so much last year under Stackhouse that it would make sense for him to come back. Again, he will go in these I don't know. I assume he got invited to the combine. He will go there and he will not take a backseat to anyone as an athlete. He is an NBA athlete. The problem, of course, is hitting that jump shot for him. So I thought he could have used another year. It's a tough loss. They still have some nice pieces coming back. Stackhouse, by the way, just got a commitment from Gabe Dorsey, a top 100-ish player.
Yep.
Nice pickup. So that's a big recruiting score for him. And I thought had a great year coaching the team. But when you lose Saban Lee, you've got some nice players coming back, but it's still in that league. I think it's going to be tough sledding for them to, you know, win more than a handful of games in the SEC. And for college basketball, by the way, when's that starting? How's that looking?
I know.
It may be a January conference only and then tournament thing for college basketball this year.
And wouldn't that just be awful for Tennessee basketball? Like, this is the year that you're really looking forward to. And we've been talking about this since they were, you know, in conference play last year, about how this upcoming season was really going to be the time where Tennessee basketball might have the chance to shine. And with that all up in the air right now, if you're a Tennessee basketball fan, you got to be very nervous about COVID and everything surrounding not only what's going on right now with MLB, but ultimately what happens in college football is going to go a long way in influencing what happens in college basketball as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a great chance that some all these non-league games, and some of them very attractive, don't happen. But just like football has talked about coming to the spring, if basketball gets a conference schedule and things are different, treatments, vaccine, whatever it is, and you can get a conference schedule and you can get March Madness, hey, take that and run with it.
Absolutely. When we come back, Tracy Myers from NHL.com will join us. We'll dive back into the Preds and Coyotes series game two today. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning here in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to get back into some hockey talk. Preds and Coyotes and everything going on in the NHL bubbles. And to help us do that, we bring in our good friend Tracy Myers from NHL.com. Tracy, how's it going? Thanks for joining us today.
I'm good. Happy to be here. I'm sorry that, in normal times, I would have been in Nashville, I'm sure, for at least part of April. So I'm sorry I didn't get to see you guys this year.
We are very sorry about that as well, because you make us look a lot smarter than we actually are. So we appreciate that. Tracy, what were your takeaways from game one of the Preds and the Coyotes? And what did you kind of make of the loss in game one for Nashville?
I was, and I think I tweeted this out at one point, I was surprised at it was a sloppy game for him for most of the day, and that surprised me because I'm used to seeing Nashville, every team makes mistakes and stuff like that, but to have as many, mistakes, undisciplined penalties, blown coverages and stuff like that, I was very surprised. And with Arizona, you know, there's nothing fancy about the Coyotes. But if you give them the chances that Nashville did, you know, things are going to happen. And, a couple fortuitous bounces. Those never hurt. But I was very surprised, and I on the other side, I will not be surprised if they come back with a much better game today.
Yeah, one of the many, many changes, Tracy, in this tournament, of course, is a whole bunch of back-to-backs. We've been talking about this today. I think we expect that UC Saros will be in goal again for game two. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought he hung in after really not getting a lot of help from his teammates in the first period the other day, but then they come right back out tomorrow. How do you think teams, I mean, of course, we're wondering about the Predators, and I think it's situational. Do they win? Do they lose? How does he play? How much work? All that stuff. But do you think we're going to see a lot of switching in that, or is that just overrated because we're just used to the regular season approach of course you switch goalies for a back-to-back?
I won't be surprised if they do not switch. The first example I can think of a back-to-back in the playoffs, and of course I got to refer to the Blackhawks here because I've seen them as long as I have, was in 2013. They had back-to-back afternoon games to start the Western Conference Final against the Los Angeles Kings. The Rolling Stones were in town for 3 dates, and so they had to move things around. So because of the Stones, we had 2 afternoon games, which is not terrible. But, so you had a back-to-back situation there, and there was no switching or anything. You know, it was all Corey Crawford all the time. And so I will not be surprised. This is the playoffs. It's an entirely different beast. So, you're going to go with the group that, that you believe in and everything, and especially if Nashville wins today. They're definitely not going to change anything up. So, no, I would not expect a whole lot of change-ups.
Tracy Myers from NHL.com on the line with us. And, Tracy, we've been talking the last couple of days just dissecting this Preds roster and the way the games have gone for them lately in the playoffs. And you were around for the Dallas series last year. You mm-hmm. remember how effective Dallas was at, number one, getting to the Predators' net, and, number two, keeping them away from their own net. Arizona did something very similar in game one. When you look at mm-hmm. this Predators roster, do you think they're built to win for the way that you have to play in the playoffs?
And I had to call up the roster. That's a combination of a late night game and not enough coffee yet, so I apologize. But the thing that I know about Nashville, and regardless of who they've had on the team, but this team isn't that much different from the one that they've had the last couple of years, is just this workmanlike approach. And I think that's the one thing that that wasn't there on game one. It was like the Blackhawks last night. It was like Edmonton in the first game. There was no doubting, who they had. It was just a matter of were they putting the work in. And, I just have a hard time thinking that there's a massive problem with this roster. Now, I'm sure there are some fans down there who would disagree with me. They're watching them on a more consistent basis than I am, but I don't know, and I'm not much for the overhaul, and that phrase of rebuild, which is a lot more extreme than I think people think it is. But, you look at this roster, I think they've got all the tools. Why it hasn't gotten them over the hump yet, I'm not quite sure, but I don't see anything glaring here that's a problem.
Well, Tracy, you mentioned the Blackhawks. Getting up early, I was like, well, I can't really watch this game. But McDavid went boom, boom. And I'm like, okay, I can go to bed now. I think I know this is flipping. We're seeing a lot of goals. I think we're probably going to see a lot of goals. A lot of people complained about this team, being included in Montreal too. Both of them already have wins. What do you think of that series? And what else is jumping out at you so far in this incredible tapestry of hockey we're getting day after day?
Yeah, like I said last night with Edmonton and the Blackhawks, if you want a series with a lot of goals and mediocre defense, this is the series for you. Defense was going to be the issue for both teams, so they're both a little suspect in that category. It was going to come down to how's the goaltending. Koskinen looked pretty darn good last night. I thought the Oilers still made a couple turnovers in front of them that were suspect. And on the other end, Crawford was fine up until that gap, that misplay on the puck. And then the next thing 2 goals in 40 seconds and game over. Connor McDavid is ridiculous. It's just, as soon as you turn on the TV, you're looking for where he is because you know you're going to see a show. And, the hockey in general, I think it's been entertaining. First of all, it's been incredibly entertaining. There's been some interesting bounces. I think that just comes with the fact that you're playing hockey in August and multiple games on two surfaces. But I've been tremendously entertained with all this. And, you know, as far as Montreal and Chicago, they both came out strong in game one. You know, whether that was, with Montreal, it was Carey Price, who was outstanding and, kind of willed that team to an overtime win. And the same with the Blackhawks, their top line in game one was tremendous. And then last night, you barely recognized them. So I have been tremendously entertained, and I expect that to continue throughout.
Tracy, obviously fans around here are very familiar with Chicago and the Blackhawks and the run they've put together over the course of the past decade. A bit of a transition the past couple of years. What are expectations in Chicago right now for this group, not only in this tournament, but as they move forward here in the next year or so?
Yeah, this is a group that's a fan base that's been very spoiled over the last 10 years. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, this is just a team during the pause when they were showing a lot of these games from 13-15, you just looked at those rosters and the playmaking and everything, and you just were remembering, wow, this team was incredible. The expectations, the bar has been set high the last couple of years. And so you're starting to feel the angst growing in terms of, okay, this is where we were not that long ago. Why are we not getting back there? What do we have to do to get back there? Again, I'm not a fan of rebuild. You look at this team and it still has its veterans, but they've got a lot of young guys now and they've got a lot of young, good guys coming up. You know, Kirby Dach is starting to get into a rhythm. I wish he was a little less hesitant on shooting, but you know, all the tools are there. Adam Boqvist will come along. You've got a nucleus of new guys coming up who are learning from a group of great veterans, but there's no doubt, you know, the fans are frustrated because they had the cups and they had the future Hall of Fame coach and things have changed a little bit over the years. And if you're going to make changes, people expect results. And, that the heat's going to get turned up higher over the next year or so if those results don't come.
Tracy, what do you think of the experience so far for fans? You know, the things the NHL has done to sort of, you know, present the games, create these bubbles. Are you sick of Zoom calls? I mean, I know I can raise my hand and say I am, but what's it been like for you too? Just how different this is relative to the usual postseason?
I actually am okay with Zoom calls right now, just because I do like the fact that I can raise my hand and I will be recognized, because you know, in a normal press conference, people are just yelling out a lot of times, and who knows if I'm heard. But I think for all intents and purposes, I think everything has gone pretty well. You know, we all wanted a little bit of normalcy back, and I realize that I'm using that word in quotes because you know there isn't a whole lot normal about this tournament, other than the fact that we've got hockey back and we've got something to take our minds off of all the craziness in the world and coronavirus and just trying to, feel like, oh, okay, this is a little part of my life that's recognizable. This is something that I'm used to, even if it's in August instead of April, May, and June. So, I know they've been saying as the games have gone on, the ice has been a little bit choppy. Again, expected. But, I think the atmosphere that they've been able to put in despite no fans. I can't remember what game it was yesterday where they put attendance on the board and said zero.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You have to have, the hats getting thrown last night by staff members. You have to have a little fun with this, you know. We all want a little fun, and we've got our sports back. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I have not moved much from my couch the last couple of days because I've just – you know, like Patrick Kane said before it all started, it's almost like a little like March Madness, but for hockey, you know, and I think we've all could use this right now.
No question about it. Tracy Myers from NHL.com has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Tracy, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
Gentlemen, great to talk with you again.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you as well. When we come back, we'll dive into a little bit more of what Tracy had to say there, get back into Preds and Coyotes. But first, do not miss a second of the action as the Preds face the Coyotes today in Game 2. Watch party viewing destinations include Burger Republic and Party Foul. Stop by Burger Republic in Lenox Village or Mount Juliet and enjoy the Fours Burger for a limited time and $4 Happen Harry's Pints. Party Foul locations are at the Cool Springs Galleria in Franklin, in Murfreesboro off of Broad Street, in Donaldson off of Lebanon Pike, and downtown in the Gulch. Today at Party Foul, it's also a special all-day happy hour, so be sure to wear your gold and bring the noise to root on the Preds. Puck drop at 1:30. The game will be at Party Foul in Donaldson at 2620 Lebanon Pike from noon until the end of the game. So pick up some game and Pred swag. Party Foul and Burger Republic both will be following social distancing guidelines while you're watching the game, so make sure you keep that in mind. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson behind the glass. Speaking of California love, Munson, your beloved Lakers clinching the one seed last night in the Western Conference. Go ahead, take your victory lap. Do what you
want
to do.
I don't want a victory lap.
Why not?
That's like, it's murderer's row right there.
The one seed?
Yes. Because you got to play the if you play the Grizzlies out there.
Yeah, that'll be real tough. But if we got to play the Grizzlies right now.
We got to play the Blazers. Like, I don't want to play the Blazers in the first round. They're hard.
Do you want to play the Mavs? Because they're looking like the 7.
Yeah, so I'd rather play the Mavs than play the Blazers. I think people are underestimating how good the Blazers are.
They did just go to the Western Conference Final last year.
I think people are underestimating, like, just because they're a 9 seed. You know, but sometimes people like watch. They're like stat watchers. They're not really like they look at the standing charts. Like, oh, that team's awful because they're a 9 seed. They're
awful.
I got
news for you. Any team that's got Hassan Whiteside on it, they're not winning. It just ain't gonna happen.
Well, I mean, Hassan Whiteside and Yusuf Nurkic.
It ain't gonna happen.
Combo.
It ain't gonna happen.
I mean, Zach Collins gets more minutes than Hassan Whiteside.
I know.
So it doesn't really.
There's
matter.
A reason for that.
And misses more layups.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Lakers one seed, it's cool.
It's the first time they've been the one seed since 2010. This should fire you up.
Home court, man. Home court advantage.
Yeah, home court advantage.
Home court,
in the bubble.
In Orlando.
In the bubble.
Got a lot of Lakers fans on the Zoom calling in.
See, Jack Nicholson on the virtual fans. It'll be great.
He has not been on there yet. And it's sad because I got to watch, Paul Pierce. I don't want to watch Paul Pierce watch a game on virtual. Who cares?
Kendrick Perkins, maybe?
Nobody cares about Paul Pierce.
A little Kendrick Perkins in there?
Like
really
Draymond Green said about Paul Pierce, man, they don't love you like that.
That's a good point. Paul Pierce claimed to have a better career than Dwayne Wade, I was like, oh, okay, man, let's back off.
Well, it was funny that when Paul Pierce was trying to do his retirement tour, kind of like how Kobe did, and then Draymond Green just ruined everything by saying, man, they don't love you like that. They don't love you like that.
That ain't going to happen.
That's pretty rude. That's disrespectful.
Draymond. But
it's also true.
But look, one seed, I just don't think, a one seed, does not matter in this. Now, in MLB, maybe, when their 60 games ends and the top seed gets home court advantage or whatever, that matters because you get to stay in your ballpark, and it's cool. But when it comes to the bubble, it's just who cares who gets a one seed at this point?
Well, again, it's like with the Preds in this series. Normally we'd be like, you better
win on home ice today.
You're about to take a flight out to Arizona. And it just, whatever. Who's the home team? Yeah, you get last change. That's it.
Yeah, so it really just does not matter. Because I think the bubble system is only in these 8 games and these seedings and reseedings are only for the Wizards, the Nets, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, and the rest of those teams in the West that are buying for that 8 seed.
Yep.
The rest of the teams, they don't really you're playing for matchups at this point.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't want to play the Blazers. I want to play the Spurs personally. It'd be a good matchup. They're easy.
Easy.
Rooting for the Blazers now.
Yeah, me too.
Let's not.
They are intriguing when those two guys both get cooking. Whew.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
So that's what I'm saying. So
that's what he's scared of.
Like one seed, it's cool. Yeah, we got it. Kudos to that. But, it's murderer's row.
Lakers, Clippers.
Well, good luck to your Lakers.
We'll have Lakers,
Clippers. Especially the way LeBron's been playing lately. He's been playing a little sluggish. Anthony Davis has been needing to score 50 points.
It's not been a great start to this tournament for, or this bubble for LeBron.
I mean, he had 22 last night. Yeah. I understand that. He had 8. 8 rebounds and like 7 assists. He had a good stat line, but I'm just looking at him. And he just looks a little like tired. He looks tired, LeBron. He's old, but.
Yeah. He's been in this league for 17 years, you know?
Maybe he's just waiting to turn it up for the playoffs. Some guys are just like, yeah, like, does he really matter? Like, he's 8 games. Like, since the Lakers clinched 8, can I sit in my hotel room, you know? Talk to Rich Paul.
Make a trip up to Magic City.
You know, film.
Take the quarantine.
Film Space Jam 2. Like, you know, let's do something else besides play basketball.
Is that coming out? Has that come out yet?
Not yet.
No, it's not.
He has filmed that?
Yeah, he has.
He's filmed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never will watch Space Jam, but I got to put on my calendar to never watch Space Jam 2.
I thought it was just because you're a Jordan hater, you wouldn't watch Space Jam 1. You're not even going to go 2 with LeBron?
No.
Okay. You would only watch Space Jam if, like, Joe Dumars was the star of the movie.
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if Dumars could carry a movie, man. Nice guy, but.
Space Jam 3 starting Zeke.
Nice napping movie.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think
good
Zeke.
Good GM for a couple years.
Well, though. I don't think Zeke could be in that movie because then all the, like, the cartoons would just hate him. And then
they'd kick him off the team.
They'll kick him off the team.
We'll let him join the team.
That's one of the things I liked about that whole thing was somebody was like, oh, yeah, a bunch of guys didn't want it. And then a bunch of the guys were like, oh, no, I was fine with him being on the team. Actually, it was pretty much just Jordan. Okay.
Okay.
Pretty much just Jordan and Pippen.
Tracy Myers in the last segment brought up Connor McDavid. If you have not seen McDavid's goals from last night, specifically the second goal of the game, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, that guy, and I kind of hesitate to say this because maybe there is Mahomes in Kansas City. I'm not sure there's a guy in sports that does what he does at a higher level than Connor McDavid does in the NHL. Right now, it's unbelievable to watch that guy play.
Yeah,
maybe Mahomes.
That's probably a good comparison too. Just you can't take your eyes away because he's just going to do stuff that people don't or can't do.
Yeah,
yeah, unbelievable talent. And by the way, the league MVP is his teammate. So
yeah.
You know that team, that series. I mean, who knows where that's going from here? I would assume the Oilers have asserted themselves and they're fine now. And
yeah, but they still can't play D.
But yeah, I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all.
Like, they may win this series just based on the fact that Connor McDavid has pretty much proven when he wants to take over, he can. Like, especially against Chicago, who, if you think Edmonton can't play defense, go watch the Blackhawks for a little while. They can't play defense. Terrible.
We need like the 8-7 game now where they're going back and forth.
Yeah, just go back and forth.
So far it's been one side dominating. If we get some just straight-up fire wagon 8-7 stuff, that'd be fun to watch.
That would be, and I would not put it past that happening at some point in this series between the Oilers and the Blackhawks. Preds today at 1:30 puck drop. I am so looking forward to this one just from the standpoint of seeing how they respond in this game. I want to see what their mentality is right out of the gate. And it's going to tell me what I need to know, I think, about where this series is going from the standpoint of they're come out, they're engaged, they're committed to playing the way you got to play in the playoffs. All right, you feel pretty good. You go out, you win this game, it's 1-1, and you're starting from scratch. It's a best of three from there. You come out and you're flat in the first period, things go poorly, and then you fall apart again. That's not good. That's not a good look.
Well, I mean, I don't think – I'll be really surprised if they're not engaged or if they come out flat. I mean, that would be, for all their inconsistency, that would be shocking to me. But
I don't know. Shocking?
No, you wouldn't say shocking? I mean, flat. I mean, I think they're going to be, you know, this is their playoff life. I mean, they've been waiting for this for a long time. I think they'll come out with intensity and focus, but there's pressure that they have to handle too. And that is on them today. You know, it's on Saros, who we don't have confirmation he's starting, but I'm just going to talk about it like he is because he will be. But there is pressure on these guys. That's the thing. It's